Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. Tonight we are looking at episodes 11 and 12, Staying Alive and Best Laid Plans. And team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Those listening to the podcast can't tell.
Can't see us dancing.
It's like straight up John Travolta in here.
It really is. I had a moment going into this like, okay, what song am I going to use for tonight? And then I sat down to take notes and went, this is a very, very obvious choice.
Very literal, as one of the episodes was in fact called,
Staying Alive. Like, with the apostrophe and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly enough, ladies, the original title was supposed to be More Than a Woman. But I'll let you get back to your conversation.
What?
No, I think that would be about Allura very clearly. I think that would work.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I agree.
Geez, I'm so happy right now.
Season 3 accident.
They no longer so mythical
for
season 3.
All you shippers out there.
Hey.
Oh, God.
All right, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. Thank you for joining us again. This week we are having a grand old time. We are looking at Season 2, Episode 11, Staying Alive, and Episode 12, Best Laid Plans. We are this close to the finale, y'all.
Aww.
That's going to be next week, and we're probably all going to lie down and cry when that happens. But for now, we have these two, and with me I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me, Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife, E-M-M-A-F-Y-F-F-E.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hello, you can find me at
A-Torres, Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And I'm Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can find me on the internets at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the hashtag on Twitter, ABTV Voltron. We have the live chat. If you're watching, if you have anything fun you want to say or any questions for our special guest, put them there. You may well get a shout out. And speaking of our special guest, we have Zarkon himself, Neil Kaplan.
Everybody, I'm Zarkon.
I have to say,
I didn't realize that we were supposed to dress in color. I actually wore.
I know.
I didn't know I was supposed to.
I also feel like that reception of applause and cheer is the most loving welcome that Emperor Zarkon's ever gotten.
So.
There are people who want him to be in the room.
I think. Second, that wasn't a compliment.
No, it wasn't.
He's the emperor of the dumpster fire. I mean,
yay!
That is what we've been calling the Galra Empire on the show, is the dumpster fire.
It's a hot mess.
He's
not even leading. He's so fixated on getting
his
Black Lion.
Wait a second. You don't know what happens when the camera's not there.
So what happens when the camera's not there?
There's signing things. there's keeping everybody's morale up.
He's going to pose for all those poster pictures.
Yeah. But does he read the lunch menu in creative voices to be broadcast over the ship?
That's a different show.
But I'm still having fun.
There's no menu.
Just out of curiosity, what does Zarkon do for fun in his downtime?
I would think lots of daydreaming. I think he likes to see what shapes are in the clouds. I think he likes to read tea leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Horticulture.
I'm
pretty sure that somewhere there is a great. I hate when I lose the name of something. I was going to say hibachi tree.
Bonsai.
No, I know it was a bonsai.
But
I was making fun of myself by saying that I was thinking hibachi tree, which would really be strange, but be very Galra-esque, don't you think? If there were a tree
that was on fire
with really hot surfaces, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but
definitely.
Yes, certainly bonsai. Just a whole lot of.
He's got a little Zen garden out in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, I, I, I think if nothing else in this season, we have seen that, like, at heart, Zarkon really is kind of a romantic, and that he believes that he has this, like, destined connection with the Black Lion that can never be severed.
Zarkon is the guy that you block on Facebook after you break up with him.
Oh, no! But he appears outside your window with a boombox.
And then you call
I'm
the police
so
and turn the sprinklers
on. I'm
going
to have to come back on this show later when I can talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of no comment, no comment. Yeah. No comment, no comment. Yeah.
We'll get to see his romantic backstory next season.
No comment. I will neither confirm nor deny. But, you know, look, it's just, it's one of those things. If you had cameras on Zarkon during another part of his day, I think you could very easily have a sitcom going. Okay?
He occasionally orders a murder and then orders Chinese.
Oh my gosh.
Murders? What are you talking about? Nobody. He just, look, if people would just do as he asks things would go much smoother. I think he is perceived as being a lot more evil because a lot of his crew is somewhat inept.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, I'm having a Zork and Pals moment.
Aside from Hagar, you know, it's like there are a whole lot of, yeah, you know, we could have found somebody else better in the universe, but apparently you're related to somebody.
Oh, God.
You know, just,
nepotism.
Yeah, something like that. You owe somebody a favor. It's like, if you think about it, if he's doing somebody, an old friend, a favor by hiring his nephew, that makes him a pretty good guy.
And then we turn his nephew into a row beast when he fails.
Hey,
look,
he's
it's
making
called
something
giving somebody,
of him.
Yeah, giving somebody a second chance. Hello.
So, how does this sitcom spin the destruction of Altea?
I think you're just focusing on the things. Why must you be so negative?
You are not the first person I've asked to justify a character's genocide for whatever it's worth.
Look,
how long ago was that? 10,000 years?
Yeah. Recent memory, depending 10, on who you are.
10,500?
Remembers what happened
10,500 years ago?
Years ago?
And, you know, Flying Cheese in the chat says...
yeah, that's the username, guys. I don't make these up.
That is the best.
These are your usernames. Says that he is the crazy ex-girlfriend. So I'm actually envisioning a really fun song and dance number by which Altea gets destroyed. So I think that's sitcom material right there.
Wait.
I'm so down.
If we could get that musical episode, that would be stupendous.
I require a musical episode of Voltron in my life.
Yes, I think we talked about that.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
I think we should keep talking about it.
I'm just hoping one day we'll just, like, pull a Partridge Family and, like, we'll go on tour.
I want to see the bus.
Well, we got the colors already, don't we? Come on. That would be great.
Yes. Oh, that's
perfect. Goron Ice. Hannah Smash in the chat said Goron
Ice. Oh, God.
Ice. Yes.
I just want to see Josh in the cheesy, you know, vest and ruffles that we would wear, you know.
Right.
Like do a show at Six Flags or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he used to be in a boy band, so why not?
Wait, what do you mean used to be?
What?
Is there something I don't know?
Oh, boy.
I am crushed.
Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Wow, we should probably talk about the episode.
All right.
I feel like these two episodes, we have this third one that we're going to have next week, and it's kind of a trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of odd talking about these two and not being able to talk about the climactic battle at the end here. But that's how we're keeping it. We're spoiler-free for next week.
Episode, sorry.
Yes. Neil would like you all to know, in case you weren't aware, the character of the Yupper was voiced by
Laika.
Yeah.
Yes, I was Laika. That was pretty fun.
Now I'm imagining Laika in Zarkon's place.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I think it would take like about 18 months before anybody really realized.
I completely agree with you, because that, as you were mentioning, it's a lot of Zarkon's subordinates are not the brightest crayons in the box. So if,
but I think that's because the brighter ones are out there in a lot, mm-hmm. you know, among the galaxy, actually yeah. governing and keeping the universe, you know, under control. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, if all the brightest colors in the box are on that main ship, things are falling apart around the galaxy. And really, that's where the governance comes into play, people. Mm-hmm. So it may seem a little messy right there in the kitchen itself, but if you go out to the rest of the restaurant, the patrons is happy.
And okay. we're back at Vrepit's house.
Yeah!
The best and the brightest govern, the rest of them are mall cops.
Oh my god!
Tell me I'm wrong. Farcon was still correct. Glorious.
Well, I think part of it is also just kind of general boredom, because no one would dare attack the main fleet ship with Zarkon on it. You know, the guy who can pull out his Bayard and slice ships in half.
So he's calling his ex because he's bored?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
He's why is that shit taking up? Years?
It's not that he's calling because the ex, you know, the ex because he's bored. He couldn't find the ex for 10,000 years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a whole lot of, so, you know, I got your number.
Right. When are you going to text me back?
Yeah. I mean,
no,
lunch.
Did you get my text?
8,000 Facebook messages.
I am just imagining that, like, Zarkon's Facebook to the Black Lion's Facebook just constantly being like, hey, are you there? Did you get my text? Did you get my message? Did you get my messages for 10,000 years?
I miss you.
Oh, my God.
Occasional reminiscing.
No, I miss you.
What's horrible about that assumption is, you know, he waits a century or so, and it's still a lot, okay, over 10,000 yeah. years. Yeah. So you look at that and go, look, 100 times. Desperate much. And it's like, you know, but I waited a century in between each one.
Most so, guys usually wait 3 days.
Just seeing if you need anything.
Just call me. Coffee. Just want to catch up.
Want to go to the space movie.
How's your trip to Europe?
I heard a rumor. Just want to make sure you're okay. You know.
It's I love that.
Whatever.
Just checking in.
Oh my god.
You started this.
I did start this. And I don't
a package
regret
of yours
it.
Showed up from UPS. Where should I send it? Not
Hagar's
that I
want to
know where you are, but if you prefer, I can give you a third party. You give them the address. I
can send it over to Red Lion. That'd be cool.
I hate feeling responsible for this. I've held on to it for 6,000 years at this point. And I'd like to get it back.
Hagar's in the corner going, please get over it. Please get over it. She's not answering.
We have a few great responses from the Black Lion in the chat. yes. So Mandalore says, Black Lion, 10,000 years later, sorry I fell asleep.
okay.
Sabrina that says, hi. Black Lion's response is, new paladin, who dis?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yes. Yep. And
cold, ice cold.
And, that's blue.
And Hannah Smash says, it's only left on red from Black Lion, so Zarkon can see that the Black Lion has seen these messages but just isn't responding. Man, that's harsh, Black Lion.
New Paladin Hoodis is my, I need that on a shirt. It's yeah. my new favorite thing.
Oh my gosh, savage is what it is.
But speaking of, how did you find out about this role? Was it something you were able to audition for, or is it something that they approached you about?
No. I auditioned for it. I auditioned for it and just forgot about it. And then got a call. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. Then I hear all these stories, like when I show up, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, there have been like 17 different casts before you showed up. It's like, what?
Okay.
I feel like Viggo Mortensen showing up on the, you know, set of Lord of the Rings. Like, you guys all know each other? Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Hi, I'm the evil guy.
Hi,
all my buddies.
Yeah, something like that. It was something like that.
Oh, nice.
You know, I showed up, I think, the first recording session. And it's like there was Josh, and it's like, oh, cool, I know Josh. There's Nolan North, and it's like, oh, I guess they're serious. and then Kree shows up and is like, do you know who you are? This show's gonna be big. It was kind of fun, but then a whole lot of silence. And then I went on the internet, and it's like, nobody knew that DreamWorks had the rights to the show. So I was like, nobody even knows this is coming. How cool.
I don't know if anyone knew until the trailer dropped.
Yeah.
Just in the dark. They picked up the rights to a bunch of different shows. Mm-hmm. And so there was just this tiny little blurb in the background from a couple years past, and people forgot about it. So it's like,
A couple years past sounds about right for an animated series.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the only people that knew about it were people who were working at DreamWorks.
Yeah. I mean, it might have been on some people's radars like, oh, DreamWorks picked up the rights to Voltron in the same way that we all know that Disney still has the rights to Tron 3. But that's kind
of... Or just things that are picked up and it's like, will they do anything with it? And of course, I think as we can see now, they waited to get it right.
And they did.
They got it so right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think for me, I remember hearing something about Voltron sometime around when that first trailer dropped, and it was like, I knew that DreamWorks Animation was doing it, but that Joaquin Dos Santos was involved, and I love Avatar and Korra, so I was like, wait a second, this is like Voltron, but Avatar the Last Airbender? I'm in. Because I already liked Voltron as a kid,
right. Or
more like remembered liking Voltron as a kid, which is very much, you know, what... this series is. It's people that remember liking Voltron and kind of made their own version that was what they remembered liking.
Because when you go back and watch classic Voltron, some of it's like, this is amazing. And some of it's like, this is amazing.
Question mark?
It is an experience.
Yes. The dubbing choices are super fun sometimes.
Oh, they did the best that they could. Technology was so much different for voiceover back then, especially with outside materials, you know, outside the U.S. So they did the best they could. It doesn't make it any different, but they did the best they could.
Oh, I was thinking more in terms of cartoony voices than I was, which take are you going to use? Because I know you get one and done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got one take and that was about it.
But Pidgey's voice in the classic version, y'all.
Yeah. Very grateful for Bex.
Now that we've
oh my god, I love her.
Yeah, now that we have taken that, we're getting questions from our yellow lion in the booth, Mark. Hey, are we going to talk about the episodes? Well, I tried.
Can we please talk about the episodes?
No. So
we tried. Gold star. We tried.
Yay! Back to the Balmera.
We're back to the Balmera. They need to stop going to this Balmera because literally nothing good ever happens. Like they go there and things are better for a while, and then they're markedly worse. And it's usually because we have the Evangelion-inspired robies that just won't die.
I was so happy because, first of all, this robies is super cool. Again, it's straight up out of Evangelion. So cool. But second of all, we were making the point earlier this season that they really haven't beaten that very many robies just on their own. The Balmera took care of this one.
Correct.
And so they actually, like, the fact that this one comes back with a vengeance is really neat and really cool.
Notes say, remember that thing that we didn't kill? Turns out it's not dead.
Double tap, guys.
Double tap.
Thank you.
Always now with more tap. Crystal death and less head.
It is really creepy, though, that this creature doesn't have a head and, like, it's just got a crystal, like, jump, you know, punched out of its chest.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure out where it was heading.
Batteries.
Oh, my God.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. You're talking about a show where the main character has lions for hands. Hold on! Because that works. You get the claws. Lions for feet. And you're saying it's weird that the villain doesn't have a head.
Those people
are non-traditional, you know, kind of design. And I gotta be honest with you, I kind of dig when I see that kind of design. You know?
Lions for hands, or
something non-traditional.
Yeah.
Something non-traditional. And you know, one thing that I constantly gets me about this show is the design.
Oh yeah,
and that battle with the Robeast, the three-dimensional effect that they get just constantly blows my mind. Of course, in episode 13, it's really incredible.
But, so do you want to come back next week?
The action in this show constantly kind of, you know, I sit there and go, dude, this is awesome.
Why didn't I get popcorn?
I did outside. No, totally taken care of. I mean, I think, and not to jump too much, but I think that, or I thought until the until season two, I thought that the greatest animated battle I've ever seen was probably the final episode of season one. And then we get to the final episode of season two. And I'm just sitting there just constantly blown away. And I, you know, we record these things so long ago that when I watch it, I kind of divorce myself of the fact that I was even involved. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just constantly blown away. And I really loved the look of these two episodes. I mean, you know, you got the, you know, I don't like to get too technical, but the crystal thingamajig dealy bob.
I believe that is the technical term.
It is.
And just, you know, the construction of it, and then when the camera rotates around it, and I just, you know, I really know it kind of struck you and didn't work for you, but
I loved it.
But
it
I liked that it's not, you know, okay, we got to go with the typical kind of it's based on human form and, you know, head and arms and legs and feet and all this. I mean, it's there to do a job.
Well, yeah. I think what makes it that much creepier and that much better of a design is that we saw version 1.0 and we fought version 1.0 and it wrecked everyone. And then it shows up and it's missing a head, which is something that we saw was previously necessary for it to live, and instead has a crystal in its chest. Like, we've upgraded. Oh, God.
Well, and typically you aim for the head to take something out. When he does have a head, it's like, what do I fire at?
And that was precisely what I was going to comment on, is that I liked this, like, version 2.0 of the Robeast because of the fact that it wasn't based on your sort of typical humanoid form. So you do find it more threatening from the point of view of, this doesn't have any of the, like, regular weak spots. Does it have, like, a heel or something? Like, I don't know. You know?
At least with, like, a headless horseman kind of situation.
Yeah!
That you can technically aim for in some way, shape, and form. But this one's like, oh, gosh, now I don't know what to do.
And it's not a space lizard, so.
And the other thing to think about, you know, is when you've got the headless horseman, it's kind of hard to tell where he's looking. You know?
Yeah. Well, Does he see where the pumpkin's pointing? Is that
sometimes that's how you plan your attack.
No, correct.
Ah. You know? Is where are they looking? Go someplace else. Or, you know, the eyes are the vulnerable spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would assume that the crystal is the thing you want to go for. Yep. Yep. You know, when you see something like that, you know, you get Iron Man, you know, don't kick him between the legs, you know, go for the thingy in the chest.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, so. Yeah.
And that's what wound up working.
There is that whole, you know, where is the center? Where do I focus on? Or what am I trying to deceive from a tactical standpoint when you see this entirely new form? Sometimes it's, how do I engage with it?
Yeah.
How do I battle it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's this whole new thing that the paladins have to go, what do I do?
Have to come up with a different strategy.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And to your point, we don't actually get unlike the old show, we don't get a Robeast fight every single episode.
Right, yeah. Which is 100% one of the things that I really enjoy about this series, is it's the solution isn't always form Voltron, get bigger, and
slice it
blow
in half.
Things up.
Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't work like
and
that.
The other thing that I love about that is, and this has come up more than once over the course of mostly season two, we need time to form Voltron. Yep. It takes a chunk of time. It's not like a lot of magical girl animes where it's like, we have this beautiful transformation sequence, but it happened in a split second in the time of the series. For this, it's like, no, this actually requires some time. There are some mechanical processes here. We can't just pause the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I love that that's a consideration.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that as well. I also enjoyed in this episode, like, going back to the Balmerian Alara and Shay's reaction when Alara shows up and she's like, oh,
is Hunk with you? No. Oh, I'm less interested.
I'm happy you're here.
Kind
Thanks
of.
Thanks for visiting.
Where's Hunk?
I mean, Hunk did save their planet, so yes, it's not it's true. Like they're unhappy to see her.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, dumb. But she's not. Yeah. She has very specific interests, yes. And they were not met.
No, not
I, yeah, and I thought that, like, her reaction was completely appropriate of like, oh, I'm still happy that you're here to save us, but like I'm a little disappointed because I kind of like Hunk. And I also really loved when Hunk and Keith were both in the Yellow Lion and Keith's like, I'm just gonna jump out and like jetpack through space to get the Red Lion, and Hunk's like, yeah, okay, wait, you're not kidding.
I love that. It's okay, Red will come get me, my ride will come pick me up, I called a lion lift. It's a plot point now.
There's an
because
app
it's
that.
Reliable.
It's so terrible.
The app for that is Keith throwing himself into space.
That is the worst kind of app.
Hey, if you have a system that works,
only for them. No one else's lion comes to pick him up. They just kind of go, well, Jesus, what are you doing?
How do you know?
That's right. Nobody no one's else, crazy enough.
No one else throws themselves into space regularly.
Yeah, like,
Well, I mean, Black comes with hallucinations, and Red comes with a pickup service.
Well, because in my head, Red Lion's like, my baby! And like, just runs out, and I was like, stop it.
I'm coming, bae, don't worry.
No.
And I'm like,
I'm bonding with you!
Yeah. But wouldn't they all do that? I mean, they all have a connection. Yeah. I mean...
No, correct. I just feel like Red Lion's just more... I don't know.
It's just funny because Red has done it in a span of the three times over the course of a season once they figured out that it could happen.
Correct.
And it's just been Red. And that's why it's
but
funny.
Do you think that's more about the lion or more about Keith?
It's Keith.
That's definitely more about Keith.
That's right. I can just see them talking with each other going, well, I'm glad that your paladin is sane. Mine throws himself out of spaceships and I have to go catch him.
Yeah, as Allie in the chat says, no other lion has to deal with Keith. So it's 100% about Keith.
I agree.
It's like having to get your cat out from underneath the bed. You still love your cat, but oh my God, how did you figure out how to get back under there? I blocked it off.
Yeah.
You're too smart for your own good.
But I think that even within their lion, you know, we see the connection between the paladins and their lions. I mean, from the point of view that, again, you have Pidge in this episode, like, sort of taking point as the strategist who solves, like, oh, here's how we're going to create more time for us to form Voltron. And it's specifically based on a new power that, you know, her lion has acquired. And so she's very in sync with all of this sort of nature-y stuff now, which is great.
No, I'm amazed that shooting plants that overgrew the crystal didn't mess it up, but stabbing the crystal did. I mean, have you ever seen a tree grow through a rock?
Yeah,
we live in Los Angeles. Tree roots tear up sidewalks
all the time.
True. That might have something to do with tectonic plates, too. also, Voltron science.
Hashtag Voltron science.
Makes sense.
So, this battle was amazing.
It was gorgeous. It was absolutely fantastic.
And we also serve the purpose of reuniting the team. Everyone's back. We're all back with the Olkari. We have our final piece of the plot. And we're putting this giant, help me, what's the machine where it's got 18 different components and they just fall on each other?
Oh, gosh.
Rube Goldberg machine. Our Rube Goldberg machine of a plot into motion, not knowing that we're already missing a piece.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's talk about the murder ranch for a little bit.
You mean Galra headquarters?
I mean the dumpster fire. I mean Galra headquarters. Yep. Back at the murder ranch. Faces have.
Do you not know who your guest is?
She did this on purpose.
Good. The views expressed herein are those of the host only, and not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
I think that's the first time I've gotten the disclaimer outside of the credits.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Good job,
it
Katie.
It happens a lot on my after shifts.
What do you do?
Just saying some stuff.
Expressing
no,
their
this
hearts.
Is this like, is like long running jokes throughout this after show that are coming home to roost.
So yes, Galra headquarters. Thace isn't doing so hot.
Thace is having some problems.
I felt so bad for this guy.
Terrible. They strapped him to a table, and did you see one of those things was a purple buzzsaw?
Yeah,
why
I was
would
not...
you need that?
Why wouldn't
why
you need that?
Say, I don't know about that. The Hagrid's like, I need all the.
You have space magic. You don't need the buzzsaw.
She has they to had save to remove. For
they had to remove Shiro's arm somehow.
Oh, God.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Katie!
Tell me I'm wrong. Know,
did you see them use it? Did you see them use it?
We saw it activate.
Did you see them use it?
No.
So as far as you know, it's a prop of intimidation.
No, I don't.
You're just making lots of assumptions here, and I don't. I don't care for it.
Do we understand that the Galra Empire is completely misunderstood?
Not completely.
I mean, that was a theme of this episode, was that the Galra are misunderstood, specifically by Allura, who has good reason to hate them, because, you know, they murdered everybody she loves and cares about.
Maybe they deserved it. You know? There's something you don't understand about murder sometimes.
I'm just gonna.
There are two sides to every murder, right?
I need that on a shirt as well. There's some things you don't understand about murder sometimes.
Dear God.
You know,
what have we become?
Amazing.
I'm just saying.
So, you know, aside from the genocide and overthrowing people's governments and probably killing a few of them, destroying their planets.
All right, the Altaians were actually going to lead to the destruction of the universe. Okay, from their frivolous ways.
Okay,
all right. And so Zarkon just said, "You know what? It's gonna ruin my rep, but I'm willing to take the hit." To save the universe.
And throwing an ark full of people into acid is also a good way to do that.
Wait, there's a name in the chat. Hassan in the chat says, alternative Galra fact.
Maybe the whole show is alternative Altea facts.
Pull it out. It's something we've speculated on in the past, and obviously we can't talk about any spoilers, but there was clearly an inciting incident, because this was somebody, the Galra and Altaians used to fight side by side.
They used to be buddies.
And clearly something happened that led Zarkon to think, blowing up that planet, that seems reasonable.
Look, if you gotta lose one planet to save 10,000 others, you just kind of do it and say, all right. And if you're gonna be the guy that's gonna say, it's gonna make me look bad, but I'm willing to take the social hit.
Right. Right. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to wear a cape.
I'm going to look fantastic.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What is your problem? Wow.
You also had a problem.
Superman wears a cape. Nobody gives him any crap.
So does Doctor Doom.
You know who also had a problem? We got to see Angry Shiro in this episode.
That is my favorite Shiro. I wrote it down because it is my favorite Shiro line that we've had. We're traveling by Teladol, so just count your hair follicles or fluff a pillow or do whatever you need to do to make sure we just survive the trip in this reality. We had 5 different expressions and probably 3 different face colors at that point because he kept going red.
But Slav's reaction was the best thing ever, where he's like, I was just going to say that it's a very efficient form of transportation or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But Shiro is just so out of cares to rub together when it comes to Slav. Like, he is 8,002% done.
Correct. Also in the chat, everyone's like, no capes. So check that out there.
Chad is on fire tonight. No, I love you guys.
They're enjoying every minute of this.
Look, jealousy rears its head in so many ways from those who can't pull off it. I can't pull off a cape. I get it. It won't work for me. It won't work for the people out there. It works for Zarkon.
You know what's interesting, though? Talking about somebody who can't move on, you know, from the Black Lion, he also hasn't changed his fashion sensibilities in the last 10,000 years.
You like the 80s, right? Let's stay in the 80s. It'll be great.
Wait a second. So you are appropriating government funds
for wardrobe?
Here we go.
You know, that's the kind of problems that the Altaians were going to ruin the universe with wardrobe issues.
And I gotta say, if you find a good cape that fits you well, you're gonna stick with it.
Just right.
You know, when you look, Darth Vader had so many looks, right?
Yeah.
Nobody says anything.
It's because they were medically required. The doctor told him he had to.
The emperor definitely stayed pretty consistent.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He found that black cloak and he was like, this is working for me.
I'm just saying.
I found my style.
Look, okay, we are short on time.
The American bald eagle has looked the same for the last 240 years. Nobody says anything.
Oh my God. We are short on time, and we still have a fair few things that we need to cover.
Have I messed things up?
No.
This is glorious.
No, but we actually do need to talk about, we do need to talk about this second episode, because this is when we actually put our crazy Rube Goldberg machine into motion.
This is probably the most, this is probably the best any of their plans have ever come together.
Correct. Because most of their plans have been skin of their teeth, we have 30 seconds, let's go plans. And the Blade of Marmora is like, we've had 10,000 years. Oh God, one piece is missing, we have to stop. Just build the rest of the puzzle and get over that missing corner piece. It's a piece of sky, no one cares.
The difference between a bunch of teenagers trying to figure things out and an organized resistance kind of calling to shut
up. How about just 5 people figuring
things out. That's true.
It's actually one of the things that I really like about the show is that these characters haven't just all of a sudden come together magically and now they're this perfect team and everybody just works in sync. They're learning about each other, and it's one of the things I love about these characters. I mean, one of the things I love about this show is the fact that at such a weird time, we're telling people that you can be imperfect and still be a hero. Mm-hmm. You can be imperfect and be a part of a team, you know? And everybody can bring their strengths. And I like the fact that the team trips over itself, you know?
Quite literally sometimes.
Exactly. Literally and figuratively. And you know, we're starting to see some of that click. And, of course, it gives... gives us hope for at least future storytelling. I mean, if they had gotten their stuff together in episode 2 of the first season, the show would be boring.
Yeah, no, we'd never believe it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there is that, you know, that little bit of reality in that, you know, there's been this organization that's kind of been together for 10,000 years, and they may be laying back on their laurels and not be ready for this challenge that's ahead, but it'll certainly take less time for them to get up out of their, you know, rocking chairs and find their guns and get to the firing line or whatever, versus you know, these 5 young people, new team that are learning how to work together.
Well, and also learning under a new
director. A lot of stress.
Exactly. Under a lot of duress. And on top of that, it's like they are, it's basically them and Allura and Karan, and that's it. And Allura, in of herself, is learning to be a ruler, because it's like she basically woke up and, oh, dad's dead. Guess I gotta figure out how to
look.
Govern
I saw how scattershot the 4 of you are, and this is a popular webcast. These people are trying to save the universe.
Oh my God, we're popular.
That'd be a whole lot of
news to me.
Wait a sec. Wait a sec.
Wait.
The universe. I mean, don't you think every now and then kind of goes...
They immediately got Defenders of the Universe as a title, like, thrust upon them, and they were like, I just
wanted to help.
But we have a test tomorrow? Yeah. I don't know.
But I did also like that, I believe it was in this episode, or it may have been at the beginning of the last episode, anyway, it was within what we're talking about, where they had the conversation about, once the universe is saved, like, we won't need Voltron anymore.
It was the end of last episode.
At this point, it's like the Lions have become so much a part of their identity, and it's something that, you know, they were struggling with for so long, but now they're like, okay, cool, like, we're not perfect, but we're the universe's only hope, so we're going to figure it out and we're going to do it. But then, like, when it's over, what do you do? Just go back to being
a civilian?
Regular people?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I feel
sounds
like
nice,
you don't,
but it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
I feel like you don't go back to military school after that. I feel like military school has nothing left to teach you.
No, I agree.
And in Shiro's case, it's like, I went back to Earth and they sedated me and were going to put me God knows where. Not today.
I just start a used car lot.
personally.
All right, we are really short on time, and we have news and gossip today, so we need to do the thing and win the stuff. And you guys, this plan was nuts. And for the most part, it worked.
Yeah.
We only had to sacrifice one team member.
I felt so bad for Thace because, like, these Blade of Mamora guys just keep tossing themselves at death. It's so upsetting. Yeah. But they
understand the whole greater good concept. Yeah, exactly.
They do.
And they've had 10,000 years to figure that out, that, like, if this happens, this is happening for that. You know,
just have a Halo Reach moment. He blows himself up, believing he saved his home.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and there was the moment, too, where, like, both he and Keith were in the sort of control chamber where he was supposed to override the codes, but they'd already changed them, so he couldn't do it. And then he ends up just overloading the system, and Keith's like, oh, you're turning the room into a bomb. And I was like, oh, no, he's going to blow them both up. Oh, no, wait, maybe Keith will be able to escape.
I hope we can keep Keith. That'd be terrible.
Those druid deaths were some of the most violent deaths we had on the series. We full up Ghostbustered one and then flambéed the other. Oh. Holy cow.
It was so cool, though.
And Blades of Marmora eat druids.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't know that.
It was full on Ghostbusters, the trap, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Help me, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Someone in chat help us. The Ghostbusters
just
trap.
Don't cross
I should strings. Know this.
That's all I got.
It's just a trap.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a ghost trap.
Well, okay. I feel better about my life. But yeah, those were some incredibly violent deaths.
Yeah.
Dang, y'all. So that was
it worked really
fun
well.
And interesting. And it's good to be like, okay, we have someone who can stand up to the druids, thank God.
Yeah. Yep. But again, I like that, you know, with the Blade of Marmora, you do have these people. Much as Neil is suggesting Zarkon is himself, just, you know, the kind of person who realizes that sometimes you got to make sacrifices for the greater good.
The hashtag greater not all Galra. Speaking of not all Galra, we need to touch on Allura because that apology
really bad.
Not all Galra.
No, we got to touch on Allura. But anyway.
Touch
on that storyline.
Okay.
Awkward. Sorry. I'm just listening.
It's all good.
Do we need to get you more popcorn?
No, just go ahead. Touch on Allura.
But yeah, this was a really great way to wrap up that particular storyline because it was difficult to watch a character who, you know, they've all become this family, and for a while she was refusing to even look him in the eye.
Keith was there too.
Yeah.
Dead silence.
Yeah.
And walk away.
And it was a nice sort of parallel between sort of Keith's storyline with the Blade of Marmora, where he, at the end of it, basically goes, no, you know what? This family I think I'm trying to find doesn't matter. Where, again, in that conversation of, oh, what are we going to do after we do save the universe? You know, you have Pidge being like, yay, I'm going to find my family. And Keith's like, I mean, I guess I could look for mine. Because at this point, you know, Keith has kind of accepted that the Paladins and Allura and Corran, like, they're all the family he really needs. And that's the same conclusion that Allura ends up coming to regarding Keith being like, you know what? I don't care that I associate what I know you to be, at least partially, with this race of people that completely obliterated my actual family. It doesn't matter. You're my found family now, and that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. And don't you think at a certain point that she's got to have a certain amount of faith in the lions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the fact that the Red Lion chose Keith.
The Red Lion had to be impressed.
You know, but at a certain point, it's like, oh, right. I gotta trust in this mystical thing that can judge your character better than I can from my, you know, humanoid perceptiveness.
Yeah. I will say, though, to play devil's advocate on that a little bit, you know, the Black Lion was previously piloted by a Galra. So,
and what does that tell you about that Galra?
That he cannot get over his past breakups.
You're reading into something else.
Yeah,
which makes me wonder what that inciting incident was to tear apart the old Voltron team.
And does he or does he not still have a connection? And so I say, and this is again divorcing myself from having worked on the show, but as a fan, as somebody who was watched science fiction for a long time and fantasy and animation, I mean, I sit there and judging from the rules of Voltron itself, there's got to be something there still if he's able to have that connection. So much as you like to say that they all broken up and stuff, as much as you like to sit there and say, he doesn't love him anymore. He doesn't love him anymore. There's something there.
Well, I mean, you never forget your first.
Correct.
But do you still pick up the phone and listen when they talk? I mean, it's one thing to not forget. It's another thing to still be affected. Right? And the fact of it is, there's still a connection to the point where he's able to affect the black line.
Mm-hmm. And he is so easily distracted by that, too. Like, the second the black line starts flying around, he's like, yeah, get me that armor that lots of people died, you know? Perfecting? Quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Testing.
Testing.
I am just glad that just to touch on that last part of Allura, I'm really glad that we didn't have to continue that into the next season, because I was just kind of tired of it. Not in a bad way. It's just like, I feel like it's so not out of character for her, because it makes sense. It's just, it doesn't need to continue for
that. And it was so satisfying to see her being able to move past that, because it is hard to move past, you know, the hurt in your life. And that was a huge loss for her. And she was able to move forward. Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly moving.
Yeah. And this comes from Mark in the chat, but needs to be mentioned because it would be genius, which is...
Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, you say it. I was going to say, why am I reading your thing?
I would like to see an Ember Island Players-esque episode of The Rise of the Galra Empire.
Right! Yes! Right! Faces! Right!
Perfect!
Best!
Oh my god, I think we broke Katie!
Finish your drink.
Context for anybody who doesn't watch Avatar. I want it so bad.
Oh my god.
Sorry, what are you talking about?
I need this in my life.
That would be incredible.
We have like 5 minutes, y'all.
Do it.
We end this episode with the plan having seemingly worked.
Sort of.
And Zarkon's headship powerless. Mm-hmm. Weaponless.
Correct.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
With this beautifully framed shot of Voltron approaching it. Just like, okay, next episode's gonna be nuts. Let's do the thing.
Yep.
And because everything went super well in this one, you know it's gonna go super well for the climax of the season.
Seriously, if everything goes according to plan, this is it, this is the end. Yeah, everything's totally gonna go according to plan. We don't have it. Okay. At that point, we are gonna need to swing into really quick news and gossip, but
can
you guys...
I just mention that my pit bull really loves the space mice?
Oh! That's adorable!
Space mice charades.
Yep, no, the space mice squeaked. He went, huh? I rewound it. They squeaked again. He went, huh? Just like, totally. He was fixated on the space mouse.
I need to see your pit bull dressed up as a space mouse now.
No, I got a picture of him dressed up as a pinata, and he's not happy about it. He is on Twitter, Buster Kaplan. At Buster Kaplan.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right.
So, news.
Sorry, news and gossip.
Thank you. TV news.
We had a toy fair last weekend, and I don't know if this was or wasn't approved, and if someone put this on the sign and they weren't supposed to, but the confirmation that we have from the booth that was making the Voltron toys is... Season 3 is in September, and that they ordered 78 episodes,
holy
which, if you
crap.
Do your math, is 6 seasons. So, is it too early to repurpose the 6 seasons in a movie hashtag? Because I feel like that's where I'm living right now.
I'm already there. I've already made camp. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. This is where we are.
We also can't 100% confirm this to be true, because it's not like we had
an official press release from DreamWorks
releasing it. So that would be great.
It would be super.
But we can't say for certain that this is news. It more falls under the gossip category.
That's why this section is called News and Gossip.
Yes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel like this is, they had that information, someone released it when they weren't supposed to, and DreamWorks and Netflix are just kind of looking at it like, I can neither confirm nor deny the presence of a human child here tonight.
Oh, but it'd
be
nice.
Full Pixar this episode. All right, so that is basically the news. They're also releasing a Voltron guidebook. It's available on Amazon and is coming out in August.
Correct.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to need to get my hands on that.
Is that an art book, basically?
No, it said it was aimed towards 6-year-olds and up, so I assume it's kind of summaries of what we have, stats on some of the characters.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. It should be super fun. So that's on Amazon.
Can we get an official art book? Because the art in the series is so freaking gorgeous.
Yeah. Sign me up, I need it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't think... We're going to save predictions until next week for reasons. Yes. Really super quick, iTunes. Again, we are rattling off names tonight because we're out of time and we have a lot of reviews, but we love you.
We do.
Quick recap,
so
review,
I'm not gonna
subscribe,
get the chance
comment.
To do this thing for you guys?
What? There's a thing?
There's the thing? Do you have the time for the thing?
Sure. Let me just.
We will make time
for this. Can I just say thank you to the people who left us iTunes reviews?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So first of all, I'm so sorry, Vicky. Vicky Chain was the review that I missed last week. I was like, I feel like we had more, and I apologize profusely. I'm so sorry. We were running out of time, and I was trying to go really fast.
You're the best.
So let's see. So February 11th. I think that. So I think Voltron Diaries, we didn't mention before, Vire 222, Plays with Worms, Puppet Master 55, That Chip Guy, Sokka Doggy, and Tom Preston, all 5-star reviews.
You guys are glorious.
Yeah, you guys are absolutely incredible. We come back with no less than 5 new iTunes reviews every single week. That really, really helps
us
look legit and get cool people like Neil and to come in.
Don't say that phrase, because that's like an oxymoron right there. That's a perfect oxymoron. Cool people like Neil. Yeah, no.
Okay, Neil, so what
when you subscribe on iTunes, when you rate, when you subscribe, when you leave us a comment, that gets us, that increases our standings on the iTunes podcast chart. So when you type in Voltron, we show up a little closer to the top, and it keeps us on the air as an after show. So if you want to see us through the mythical season 6 at this point, through the unconfirmed season 6, that's the best way to do it, is to leave those reviews. If you review in an iTunes store that is not the American store, or if you leave a review on the Google podcast feature of Google Music, screen cap it, throw in the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron. We love those and we see those as well. What's the thing?
This is for Bex.
Oh, God.
No. Okay, all right.
Do it.
One way or another, I'm going to find you. I'm gonna get you one way or another. I'm gonna win ya. I'm gonna get you one way or another. I'm gonna see ya. I'm gonna meet ya one day. Maybe next week. I'm gonna meet ya. I'll meet ya. I will drive past your house. And if the lights are all down, I'll see who's around. One way or another, I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you one way or another. I'm gonna win you. I'll get you one way or another. I'm gonna see you. I'm gonna meet you one day. Maybe next week. I'm gonna meet you. I'll meet you. And if the lights are all out, I'll follow your bus downtown. See who's hanging out.
Oh my god. Done.
That is for my Bexilla.
Alright,
that is for my Bexilla. She asked for that.
I'm officially broken. I can't.
We need is a music video.
Any of us can follow that up.
Someone get on it with an A and B of that immediately.
Someone pull that audio. I need that as my new ringtone. Thank you.
Sweet Jesus.
Do you have any other projects that you're working on that you can tell us about?
See, that's the key, is that I can tell you about.
Yep. And DA O'Clock.
The only thing that I can mention is that when season 2 of Pen Zero Part-Time Hero begins to air, you will hear me on one of those episodes.
Sweet.
And that is a show that I started off as a fan. I love that show. And if you've never seen it on Disney XD, I highly recommend it. It is a blast.
And of course, the cover album that you're doing as Zarkon. The 80s cover album.
Only if Josh works on it.
Josh, all right. You heard the man.
I'm going to send him a message right now.
I'm sure everyone who's watching and is on Twitter is currently going, hey, listen.
This album is now in production.
Look, I'll tell you, with some of the people that are on that cast, it would just be a blast and a half. I mean, I adore Cree, I adore Josh, I adore that entire cast. Ty and Bex, I mean, it's been a gift working on that show and being introduced to this fandom and y'all, and I just want to thank you for tolerating Grandpa over here.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's been glorious.
Oh, this is so much fun.
Thank you again for coming on. Oh my God. I think we're all out of words after this, and it's in a good way. Where can the people go online if they want to keep up with you?
I've never done that to four women at once.
It's hey, a Neil, new record. This is a kid show. Come on.
No, it's
well,
not.
Well, wait. What did you mean?
I'll sit you down on my knee and I'll tell you after the show.
All righty then.
Then you can do it to five people.
Hello. Yeah.
Where can the people go online if they want to keep up with you?
I am constantly on the Twitter. You can find me at Kneecap. At Kneecap. All right? Neil Kaplan minus letters. Because I wanted to leave people plenty of characters to be able to write to me. Because they get 133 instead of like at Neil Kaplan number 74246. So they can write hi and that's it. My fan page on Facebook, Neil Kaplan voice actor. Because I'm still trying to update my website. Oh, I'm so late.
Cue up the sound of silence because that's the soundtrack you need for updating websites. My day job, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh hey, God. We should Thanks talk.
Emma, where can the people find you?
On the internet, at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. I'm mostly on Twitter and Instagram. Also, if you guys like space, which I think you do, you should totally watch Pencils and Parsecs on Hyper RPG on Friday nights at 9:00 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's a Star Wars RPG. It's a whole lot of fun. I play a new Mandalorian sort of smuggler with a very hairy past. So it's a really good time. You guys should come hang again.
Did you say hairy back or hairy past?
Harried past.
Either way, the hair is behind
it. Oh, hairy past.
Yeah.
I thought you said a hairy back.
Nope, I did not say that.
That would be a different
that
thing.
That would be a very different thing. So again, that's on twitch.tv/hyperRPG. Also, we're doing the Star Wars Rebels after show. Star Wars Rebels is back now at 8 p.m. on Sundays here at AfterBuzz TV.
Get it.
Megan and Katie are also on that show with me, and it's also about space, and it's a cartoon, so you guys will like it.
You can find me all over social media at atorres890, especially crying in a corner, and also I apologize for the snorting. But I'm also doing Star Wars stuff with our Yellow Lion Mark on Sundays for Jedi Alliance on Popcorn Talk on our sister network. Go check it out, because we talk about Star Wars all the time.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for the movie Chick That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. I'm all over the social medias and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I'm also on the Snapchat at Kia Prime. Star Wars Rebels on Sundays. Arrow on Wednesdays. Our season finale for this show is next week. Be sure to tune in.
Aww.
And I am also on Gather Your Party. Some weeks, most weeks, on Geek and Sundry on Fridays at 7 p.m. So that's tomorrow. Tune in. It's going to be super great. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us.
I totally didn't mention that I'm wearing my villain shoes.
Oh, they're Vader shoes.
That's Vader.
Those
are
awesome.
Shoes.
I want one.
And thank you guys so much for watching us.
Just
we'll
for
see
you
for the season finale next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.